Hello and welcome to Hey Art, What's Good? We're a podcast where we like to go around to cool art things in the north of England and see what's good with them. My name's Alice.
And I'm Rosie.
And something we like to do here on Hey Art, What's Good is to kind of check in with each other, see what's good with us.
Set the tone.
Indeed. So Rosie, what's good with you?
Ooh, what's good with me? It's just something little. I work at By the Kilo in Tynemouth. I talk about it all the time because I love it. And they've just started selling Proven Goods donuts.
Ooh.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I'm going to get so fat and I'm going to have the best time doing it.
Oh, absolutely.
They're going to be my downfall.
Here for a good time, not a long time.
Exactly. So Proven Goods Donuts, if you don't know, they're in Holt's Yard, but they started on Tynemouth Station selling at the market and they'd sell out all the time.
That's cool.
And then now it's kind of like going back to their roots because By the Kilo is on the station.
Hey.
So it's good. And they honestly sold out in like, we got 40 and we sold them all in like half a day.
That's mint.
It is so cool. So go to, if you're at the coast and you don't want to travel to the Ouseburn to get a good donut, By the Kilo.
Hey.
On Thursdays they get dropped off.
Oh, nice.
So and you can do a little bit of your food shop.
Indeed.
It's a good time.
And also I believe they have several vendors who sell them at the Sunday market on the quayside.
Ooh, yeah.
So just good to bear in mind.
Yeah. They sell like a bacon donut at Block and Bottle.
Yeah, I imagine they use Block and Bottle bacon. That would make sense to me.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's also lush.
Because they're very, it's so nice. It's so nice to see all these like local businesses doing cool things and supporting each other. And I'm really into it. It's very much what we are about.
Oh, there we go.
That's what's good.
Yeah, that is good.
End podcast. What about you, Alice? What is good?
What's good with me is it's been just a good week, really. Oh. It's been a very busy week and generally quite tiring. But just been so nice.
That
seen so
is
much
awesome.
Art. Like,
you've done something after work every day, right?
I have, yeah.
You're going to want to sleep for a million years after this.
Tough thing, I can't. But no, it's been really nice. Like, I even took a day off on Thursday because I've still got some holiday days left before like the end of the year. So I was like, oh, I just want to have a culture day with my dad. So we went round to town, went to like the Discovery Museum, Baltic 39, the Lang, and Bessie Surtees' house.
That's lush. Like a proper touristy day.
And then after that, me and you went to go see some art.
What day was that? Thursday.
Thursday.
Oh,
well,
God, yeah.
Which segues very nicely into what we're going to talk about this week. Perfect. Well, after my culture day with my dad, me and Rosie popped along to Sunderland because there was just a plethora of things opening on that night. It
I
was
had
ridiculous.
No idea there was so much going on.
So much. So there were other places where things were happening, but the main place where things were happening was at the Sunderland Museum and Winter Gardens.
Always a treat.
It is.
I do actually really like it there.
It's great.
I just love gardens. I like, and I particularly like botanical gardens and indoor gardens. So yeah, big fan.
It's a good time. Well, you might recall us having a chat about that. The only other time we've done a podcast about it was when we went to go see the Da Vinci drawings there.
Yeah, and as soon as we walked into this exhibition, because it was the same exhibition space, my first thought was, wow, this is different to the last thing we went to go see.
Yeah.
So we're here to tell you all about it.
We are. So the exhibition that was happening in that space was called Observe Experiment Archive, and it was kind of like a... So it's curated by the Northeast Photography Network and, you know, in partnership with the museum and stuff. So just... photography exhibition. I love them.
Yay. Very much your forte.
Yee.
But when you walk in, that's like the first thing after I noticed how different it was, mm-hmm. was that it didn't strike me immediately as just a photography. I shouldn't say just, as like exclusively photography, even though it was, mm-hmm. because the way it was curated and the selection of work used photography in loads of different ways, which I think immediately in some sense means this exhibition was successful, because I feel like one of its main goals was to use photography as like exploring the world around us.
Yeah.
So it's not just, this exhibition is calling itself an archive, but it's not an archive in like...
the more traditional sense.
Yes, exactly. It's more of an archive in that, like, it's people are exploring things and these are incomplete projects. And mm-hmm. that's something that I feel like we're picking up on more and more. There's a lot of, like, unfinished stuff going on, because at the Bowes Museum,
mm-hmm. oh, yeah.
there was Untitled 10 is very much about being like a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just exciting. I like it is, that. Yeah. This is, we're like kind of coming into something in the middle of its lifetime, yeah, and we're getting to see it at, like, you know, after it's already been through loads of stuff, but it's going somewhere too.
Yeah, well, I think the kind of big contributor to like that aspect of it is like what it's about. So it's kind of it's like a fairly comprehensive kind of look at the kind of curiosity that we as just people in this world feel with the ever changing nature and complexities of it. So like this is all, it's documenting all the kind of weird and wonderful stuff that's happening now and that has happened in the past like recent few years, but all that stuff's still happening. So it's kind, yeah, of like, where will it go?
And it has a specific focus on like the natural world, maybe?
Yeah, and kind of
and our
human,
place in it.
Yeah, yeah, human place and generally interference, I think, yeah, is a good word for it.
I like it.
Yeah, well, so I guess we can just dive straight in.
Ooh, I want
Since you're doing a waltz around Curation Corner, please.
I do. Because as I said already, there was it. So a lot of photography exhibitions I've been to are like all wall-based, which is very fine and good, and there's nothing wrong with that, because obviously most photographs are 2D pieces of work and you're a gallery, so you put them on the wall.
Yes.
But this kind of mixed it up a little bit. So there was all sorts of different things going on. There was kind of temporary walls put up to create kind of more installation type exhibits. There was tables with like photographs on it, and there was even sculptures. There was,
yeah,
sculptures that related to the photographs, and so it was more, you kind of interacted with the space in a different way than if it was just wall stuff,
mm-hmm,
which is, I think, is always really good. And we went during the preview, which meant it was busy,
it was chock-a-block,
absolutely, which was lovely to see, and there were really good vibes, but also it did mean that like it was full, so mm-hmm, I kind of want to go back.
Oh,
but that's,
yeah,
a good sign if you want to go back.
Oh, definitely.
Is it free?
It is free.
Absolutely free. Oh my God. So, and I want to say, actually, I was thinking about this on the metro today on our way to the studio. And I want to talk to, this is a personal message for everyone in Newcastle right now.
Ooh.
So if you're in Newcastle, open your ear holes. Get on the metro and go to Sunderland, okay? It's not that far. Because I went from the coast. Mm-hmm. That takes like at least one metro change.
Yeah.
But this was really worth it.
It was really good. And also you can get the train to Sunderland if you, yeah, don't want to sit on the metro for ages. And it's also,
yeah,
if that's the only place you're going, a return with a rail card is cheaper than the metro ticket would be. So yeah, just...
It's definitely not easier for me because I'm at the coast.
Yeah.
But if I can do it, you lot can do it.
Yeah.
So, but this is just something I want to address because it's so easy if you're in Newcastle, which is like, you know, the bigger city. So I get it. But give Sunderland a chance because,
yeah,
the coffee shop in the like museum in Winter Garden,
oh, yeah,
is lovely.
Homeside coffee.
Really nice. They've got loads of stuff on. But yeah, I just want to like make it very clear that it is worth the journey and it isn't that far away.
Yes.
Okay, that's
good.
Just all I wanted to say.
PSA.
Sorry, like interrupt myself there. And because, yeah, because there's so much variety and it is so relevant. It was lush.
Yeah.
It was really lush. Oh, and there was... I'm just remembering it all now because I'm kind of walking myself round the room. That's how I do Curation Corner, insight into my working
brain. Oh, there you go.
Brain. There was also like, it kind of, the photographs themselves were all different kind of shapes, sizes, exhibited differently and mad different. Like it isn't just a documentary kind of thing. This is like the manipulated photos, or there's really... edited photos, or there's just all sorts of stuff going on. And there was a video piece as well,
yes,
which was really cool, and that was accompanied by a really long strip of paper that kind of went down the wall and onto the floor and was all like crinkled up, and we'll go in all of this. But that's really what I wanted to get across here, is that this is actually like a really refreshing photography exhibition.
Yeah.
It's not,
I mean, it matches the kind of contemporary element, like,
yeah,
of what it's all about.
So it's just dynamic. That's,
yeah,
what I think. I think
dynamic,
that's the word.
That's a good word.
So there, that's the very roundabout Curation Corner.
Perfect.
Where I tell off everyone in the middle. But I just, because I was at work that day. You were off. You were just having a lovely time with your dad. I was at work eating donuts. And I was thinking, oh God, you know, like it's not amazing weather and I have to get like two metros and it's,
yeah,
so far and Well, I didn't have any of that. As soon as I got there, mm-hmm. it was. I actually definitely felt it was worth it.
Yeah. Oh, same. So, absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really excited to talk about it.
Yeah. All right. Perfect.
Let's dive in.
Well, there's like a range of artists in this. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
Ooh.
There's
I like
eight
the number
different
eight.
Artists. Oh, well, perfect.
Fun fact about me.
Thank you for the input. And some of the...
Carry on.
Thank you. Some of the pieces, I believe, were like commissioned for this exhibition. So as soon as you go in, on the wall on the right, there's a series of work called Light Matter by Liza Dracup.
Very beautiful.
Very cool. And that's, like, it's... What was it, like, 5 or so? Like, pretty big colour prints.
Oh, is this the one where it's on the right as soon as you walk in? Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was, like, 12 or something.
I can't remember. I didn't take a photo because as Rosie said, it was chocker.
Yes, because they were in two rows. There was
that
a row at the top
it.
And a row at the bottom. And there was at least like 4.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Really cool. I think that was commissioned for this. Could have wrote it down, but hey.
That's us.
Yep.
Olivia Lane.
But that's all kind of about, I believe it's the artists, like it's plants they've grown themselves and it's all taken with like artificial light and it's like kind of like weird different photographic kind of methods used. I don't know what, but just it looks different and kind of...
It doesn't look like a plant initially when you first look at
it. And then you're kind of like, is it a photo? And you're like, oh, yeah, it's a photo. It looks like a plant, but then all the colours are weird and it's kind of like alien, but it's just kind of a cool kind of thing introduce you to the...
It looks like an alien forest or something. Like it looks like, and it also could even be like, imagine if you're like in outer space and you're like on this planet and you're wearing like a helmet or something, because there looked like there was some sort of barrier between.
Yeah, it looks like maybe it's like plastic or something like that.
So it kind of looks like, maybe that's what I'm thinking of, do you know, like when you like cross off.
And like section off?
Section off, that's it. When you section off an area of somewhere to like, maybe like a crime scene or to study it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And you put like a little plastic canopy thing around it. It kind of looked like that, which reminds me of that artist that was in the train station at Middlesbrough.
Oh, Dawn Felicia Knox?
Yes, who did the lovely like little plastic room full of plants that clean the air.
Yeah.
So it kind of had that vibe. So I'm thinking like definitely like there's an exploratory element of this. It took me to this like alien place.
Yeah. Well, another piece that did that, which was really fun, it was just like one, I say just one, it was one piece that was also massive.
You
it was
like this piece.
3 meters by like 1.5 meters or something. It was freaking huge, by Helen McGee, I think. It's called Dark Adaptation. And there's not like a ton of info on it, but like on the little booklet thing, it tells you what her work at the minute is about. And it's exploring the empirical nature of darkness through photography, which is cool.
That is cool.
And the kind of work she's exploring at the minute is about astronomical observation at the Kielder Observatory.
Ooh.
So this piece...
At Kielder?
Kielder, yeah.
Oh!
So this piece is massive. It's like the only colours on it pretty much are black and red. And it's like, so imagine... You're kind of standing in maybe like some kind of like deserty kind of sandy, stony place.
Mars.
And with just a, well.
Sorry.
Jumped a gun there, but yes. And there's like kind of like a red light around the immediate area. So like as though there was maybe like one single like spotlight or something on the scene and it's nighttime and just taking a photo. But it does kind of make you think, like, just the kind of links with Kielder and, like, image making. It makes you think, like, infrared and, like, space photography. And then because it's red, you kind of like, oh, Mars, maybe.
The red planet. Also,
indeed.
Me and Alice have not talked about this beforehand, and I'm really sorry I have to spoil that.
That's okay.
You had this lovely leader, but I wrecked it. What are friends for? But it is cool. And I didn't realise she was looking at specifically darkness, which I think's really interesting, because in a lot of ways photography can only use light, like that's the only material really, like, is light and darkness.
Yeah.
But to use the negative is interesting, because you'd think that wouldn't work, because you need light to capture things.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, like, I mean, especially more so with like digital photography, like you can explore the spectrum of light.
Ooh.
Which obviously infrared is in, you can't see with your eyes. Well, you could do it a little bit with film. So, like, what they used to use for, like, aerial reconnaissance, for example, when they would take photos, they would use, like, they weren't magic, but they had infrared film. So, obviously, say if it was, like, really smoky or whatever underneath, infrared kind of, the sensitivity of it would just pierce through the smoke, so you could get a clearer photo of what's underneath it, because obviously there's some science there.
Mint.
But with digital photography, you can do a lot more, because film really does require light. However, digital sensors, not so much. Or like much less light. Mm-hmm. It's just cool to think about. Yeah. And it's just a really pretty photo as well.
It seems contradictory, but it works.
Yeah. As long as it works.
It's lovely. It's like very, it's like half black and half red pretty much. And it's, yeah, just a, and Alice always says a big photograph is just always cool. Mm. It's true. Because you just don't see a like, photograph not... that's the size of a wall very often.
Yeah, like not to diminish what the photograph is of, but if it's huge, I'm probably going to like it.
So. Yeah, and you also made a good point that if it had been in black and white, it wouldn't have been as effective. Like a big coloured photograph has something to say.
Yeah.
Not, yeah. And actually, like... to like the other end of the scale, I particularly like very, very small things, because I think it's like, especially collections of very, very small things.
Oh, okay.
So that's cool. That did a big difference.
Well, something you'd probably like then, if you like small things and also this piece in particular, there's something I've kicked myself over, about, I don't know, there's a sentence there somewhere. The Impossible Project, who kind of bought the Polaroid Originals name and make Polaroid film.
Ah.
They used to do a film called Duochrome, and it was literally either pink and black or blue and black.
Love it.
So someone did a series with the pink and black film of like kind of desert landscapes, and it looked like an alien planet, and it's really made us think of this, and you can't get that film anymore, and people sell it for like fucking £100 a box or something.
Ew.
So I wish I got it back in the day, but I'll find this link and send it to you, because it's just cool.
That sounds right up my street. Nice one. I think like talking about collections would lead us quite nicely onto one of the pieces exhibiting at this show.
Yeah.
Because there was a free art
thing.
Element of this. You got to take some art home, or at least I hope so, because I did. But what was it called? It has a very fancy name.
Yes, A Guide to the Flora and Fauna of the World.
I love it.
By Robert Zhao Renhao? It's like, I think he's from Singapore, so I'm not exactly 100% on the name.
Very sorry.
Yeah.
But this, I'd say, was the most traditionally like archive thing.
Yes.
And I'm going to go out there and say they reminded me of Pantone colour swatches.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree with that. Well, I think this is one of my favourite like series in the whole exhibition, because it's just so satisfying.
Yes.
I believe, and I've just done a bit of research about like just this project. I think it's 55 images, because this is from 2013, and it's a book which you can buy, so I'll put a link to it somewhere. But I think an original presentation of this was 55 of just the pages in a box, like a kind of portfolio, sort of like a bit more, I don't want to say scientific, because books are scientific, but you know, is it kind of like a...
I know what you mean.
You get it, like an index sort of system.
Yeah.
So I think it was 55 images, and as Rosie said, they remind you of a lot of like Pantone, like
beautiful
swatches.
Beautiful colours, and they have like the white bar at the bottom that tells you a bit about it.
Mm-hmm. But all the it's photos as well, like on a background, and all the photos are of just things with human interference, I guess. Mm. Is kind of like the most general way to say it.
Yeah. So it's like nature interrupted.
Ooh. Move over, girl interrupted. Yeah. but it's mint, so it's like, it's a range of stuff and things that you wouldn't necessarily think of. So you've got like, there's like a cube apple on there. And there's like eggs and stuff, and like, so these are kind of things like, oh yeah, like I know that, like GMOs and like treating stuff so it lasts longer and all that kind of stuff. But then there's things like, what was it called? It's like a queen goldfish or something, which I believe is from like there's a competition in Singapore where it's like kind of a beauty contest for goldfish. And I think this is the type of goldfish that was developed for that, like
the
kind
most
of
beautiful goldfish.
I mean, it is a pretty goldfish.
And if that sounds weird to people, it shouldn't, because like county fairs are where they have like the most beautiful cow and stuff.
Yeah.
like we just like looking at beautiful things. And
we do.
I don't know.
We do like that.
There's beauty in everything.
That's true. And there's like insects and stuff, but a lot of it's not just like direct interference by people. A lot of it's like these like deadly bugs that now exist because of like global warming or like just stuff like that. So it's just really interesting to just see the kind of scope of things that exist because of us.
I like it. It's interesting because I feel like too often we look at like what's natural and what's man-made as if those are like opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that's the case. I think like the line to be drawn between natural and synthetic is a bit more complicated.
Yeah.
Because like humans at the end of the day are natural and we are part of an ecosystem and we're part of a larger natural plan. I don't know.
Yeah.
And I just think it's a bit like we've like removed ourselves from like animals and plants and things and like they are for us, but they're not like part of us.
Yeah.
And I think now through like environmental crisis, we're having to rethink that.
Oh yeah.
Because we are part of that and that's not bad. Like nature isn't bad, but then synthetic isn't bad either. It's just that like we all coexist and we've got to find out how we do that, like through studies like this, like how are we actually impacting nature? How does nature impact us? And then like how does that like what are the systems created by that? And what can we do about them? Are they good? Are they bad?
Who knows?
Are they sustainable, most importantly? But it's, yeah, so I thought that's just come to mind while I was, you know, reflecting on it, that because it's like the Pantone colours, the pictures kind of look far removed from quote-unquote natural. They're not in their natural environment. They're like, they're on these beautiful...
It's like a studio shot, essentially.
Yes, really good lighting. It's like perfect photographs with these beautiful colours. I can't describe how beautiful these colours are. There's like, a lot of them are pastel and they're just great. I would absolutely have this work up on my wall.
Well, you can, because you've got a poster.
Exactly.
This poster is huge. Was it like A1 or something?
It was like a proper poster. And it had examples of the work and loads of information on the back.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't like properly read all of it yet, but...
We'll put a photo up somewhere.
Yeah, it's really cool. And I love just taking art away. But yeah, I like the way it was laid out. It was very... It almost looked like a periodic table.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. And this was a piece where it had like a little thing made for it where I remember it was like plastic fruit, wasn't it? It was like a weird looking banana, a weird looking apple, in like a table sort of situation.
And wasn't there something taxidermy?
I think so.
And I like that because that's like, because again, that's like the very like natural versus synthetic. Like, where do we draw the line?
Yeah.
So. An interesting sidebar, actually, that I went to uni to do art and design, and on the design modules that we had to do, a lot of it was looking at marketing, because that's how we like that. I mean, at the end of designing something, you've got to sell it, so marketing. And like part of it was, this is the first time I opened my eyes to like how marketing and adverts are basically propaganda. But a lot of what is known as natural isn't actually natural. It's just marketed to be that way. Like organic can be really evil and actually not very, like organic sounds like it's good, but it's not necessarily. You've got to do your research. And the exact same as like synthetic, that must be bad, like plastic and like chemicals and toxics and stuff. But not necessarily, like synthetic stuff can be really good for you and beneficial and like good for the planet. So it's really just interesting.
Yeah, it is.
I just don't take everything at face value.
Mm-hmm.
So there we are.
There we go. Important PSA from Rosie. Well, kind of moving around from that, it's like the kind of display immediately next to that one.
Yes.
Is kind of Rosie's and mine's like favorite.
Yeah.
I think of the whole piece.
A big highlight.
It's from a series called Sire by Maria McKinney. And it's a mix of, again, Mahusav photos, but also like Mahusav sculptures. It's so interesting. So if you saw on my Instagram story where Rosie like posted something about Scoobies, this was that one.
Scoobies! Who remembers Scoobies?
Honestly, it was like such an important part of secondary school, right? It's like, 7, 8.
I was in middle school.
So, 2006, 2007-ish.
Yeah, spot on. 2006, man. What a year.
Ooh.
So many, I like spent hours making Scoobies.
Yeah.
Hours. And people could do it where it was like twirls and like they'd like go in like weird patterns
I
and
could
they'd
do
really
twirls.
Thick. Oh, I'm jealous.
Uh-huh. And I'd always make pens and then I'd essentially just make pens for all my friends.
I love it.
Because you would so just cool. like demolish a pen from school, get the little like ink thing out, and then Scooby around it. And there you go, you got a pen.
Scooby around it. Yeah, and I'm so happy other people remembered Scoobies.
Yes. Well, so the Scooby element of this exhibition, so on the wall...
Wait, should we actually talk about what Scoobies are in case people don't know?
Sure.
Scoobies are like... little thin
like plastic tubes
that you can kind of bend, and in the back in the day 2006 you could like weave them into, I mean essentially I'd just like make keychains and stuff.
Yeah, you could make them like bracelets, you just have them as a keychain hanging off stuff, and there was I guess a phone charm if you wanted.
There's like fancy ways to kind of plait them.
Yeah, so you can have like beautiful like twirly designs, you can have like just your box standard like straight kind of cubey one. It was just a fun time. That was like perfect time waste and material at school. Yeah, it was great. It was
so nice. And you could like, yeah, oh, class. I'll put something on Instagram just to like jog your memories.
Yeah. Well, these weren't actually Scoobies at all, obviously.
Yeah.
What they actually were, I wrote it down here, is coloured plastic semen straws.
No way. Yeah.
Which is relevant to the exhibition, to the thingy. So it's called Sire, and it's these huge, essentially portraits of like cows on a stud farm. So it's like the pick, like the best and the brightest massive bloody cows to like breed with. So they'll have like good strength or like good...
selective breeding.
Yeah,
basically.
Selective breeding. And so... these photos, first of all, look like, do you know, like in Beamish, if you go at the farm, how they've got like all the old drawings and stuff of just huge like oxes and that.
Yeah,
it's like that. Like they still exist. They're just fucking huge.
Yeah, and actually, that is a good link to what I was saying before, where people actually like some people have an issue with like selective breeding. Like it's not quote unquote natural, but it is natural. There's nothing that isn't cow. In these cows, it's just they've chosen the best cows to breed the best cows.
Yeah, and
so it's like how all chickens are like double the size as they were like a couple of hundred years ago, or like all farm animals and all domesticated animals look different because of selective breeding.
Selective, that's the one.
And I was, because what I was going to go on to say is that like it is about domestication. As soon as human beings learned how to farm, this has been going on. This isn't new.
Yep.
This is how to farm, basically. This is what farming is.
Yeah.
Because why would you breed the weakest animals? You just wouldn't.
Yeah.
So like human intervention, not always unnatural.
Yes. And like not reliant on technology.
Yeah.
So, but obviously we've refined it a wee bit.
Yeah.
So the pictures of cows with like these harnesses on wearing these sculptures, and these sculptures are of like there's ones of like horns, there's one of like a kind of chromosome looking thingy,
and one of like, well, horns in two senses, because it's like that's like a horn, like a musical horn, and then one that looks like animal horns, like, yeah, you know, but it's like there's like four or three of them or something.
It's quite a few.
It's cool.
But they were like really beautiful and like multicolored and stuff.
Woven, lovely.
And they were like attached to these harnesses that the cows were wearing like on the backs. And apparently they are structures that recall pagan fertility symbols, which is interesting.
I like.
So just really, really cool. And again, massive photos. But it's just kind of like that cool kind of...
They were absolute beasts as well. Very nice faces, though. I think cows have nice faces.
They're just cute. It's like their eyes. I don't know what it is. Just cute little...
They are lovely.
Cute animals.
Yeah, so even though they're, like, massive, they're still cute.
Yeah.
And the photographs are also massive. It's basically life-sized. Not quite, but it's a big photograph.
Like, life-sized for, like, a kid, maybe.
Yeah. A little cow.
Yeah.
But it was great, and the way that the photographs, kind of, they were... on the wall, and then the sculptures were just, they kind of made a little corridor.
Yeah.
So on one side of you was the photographs, and on the other side was just like the sculptures. And it was a nice way to kind of like see that, like the mirror effect almost. Very cool.
Yeah.
And that actually, because that, now we're just kind of walking around the room, which is kind of cool.
It's pretty nice.
Because on the next wall, like, so you kind of reach the corner after going down that little corridor, and then straight ahead of you on the next wall is possibly my favorite or one of my highlights, and it's photographs by Mandy Barker called Soup. I think it's called Soup. And at a first glance, it's quite large photographs in frames, and they're mostly black, and there's these little like kind of specks of colour on them. So on further inspection, it's like, oh, is it like I actually thought maybe it's outer space or something. Mm. And you get really close and you realise it's all like plastic and litter, and it's all really colourful and nice on this black background. The colours really pop.
Yeah.
And they're all kind of scattered around the composition. And I believe it's plastic that's been collected from beaches, and like basically debris on beaches that's been found around the world. I want to say that it's not just like there's no exclusivity about the place. It's just everywhere, because plastic is everywhere. And I just loved it. It was aesthetic. It was nice to look at, which I think is important. It's nice to look at nice things. And yeah, it looked like it. I think it looked like outer space. It looked like, not constellations, like galaxies. That's it.
Like, there's that really, I mean, they've done tons of them, but like NASA photos from the Hubble telescope, where it's like, in this photo there are about 3,000 different galaxies.
Yes.
Like, feel small yet?
Yeah. It was like those, but plastic.
Yep.
And she's like collaborated with scientists, and our work's like internationally known, which is really cool.
That's pretty mint.
But I liked it because this is obviously something we have to pay attention to, and it's very much about the impact of plastic, large and small.
Mm-hmm.
That it's something, so it's just throwaway culture.
Yeah,
basically. And I talk about this all the time because I work at a zero waste shop. Mm-hmm. But it's really scary, and it's nice to find something that's pretty.
Yeah.
So that it doesn't just terrify you.
Yeah,
that it actually is comforting, because pretty things are comforting.
Yeah.
And it is nice that it's not, it's being collected, it's being like rescued from polluting the earth, and then it's kind of being recycled into art, which I think is nice.
Yeah.
So there was just a lot going on, but I like the name Soup, because it's this like shit soup that we've created in the ocean.
Yep, pretty much.
But yeah, like I don't actually have like too much to say about it, other than that they were really just lovely to look at. And yeah, like, but all, like you didn't, it wasn't preachy. Maybe that's what was nice about it as well.
Yeah.
You knew what it was about. You knew, you've seen it before. You've seen the news. She wasn't saying anything new, and she wasn't saying anything like scary. She was just kind of putting it out in front of you, and then you have to face it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the stuff that shows up is just upsetting. I'm sure she did one with microplastics as well.
Oh.
So microplastics are when plastic's kind of broken down, and obviously just like any like rocks and things in the sea, like eventually turn to sand.
Mm-hmm.
Plastic will eventually turn to microplastics, which are exceedingly hard to like save from the ocean.
Yeah, hard to filter it out because it's tiny,
and they're also very appealing for sea life. So that's, microplastics generally are what like fish are eating, and then the birds eat the fish, and then we eat the birds, and then we eat the microplastics.
Yay! It's a happy, terrifying cycle.
Yes. So that was lush, and it took me a while. I didn't immediately think anything to do with pollution or plastic. It took a sec. So it was nice. It was like a slow burn.
Oh, that's always nice, isn't it?
It's definitely images that you could look at for a long time. You could have them in your house and not get bored of it.
Yeah, because it's just, there's just so much to kind of like just crop into and like have a look at.
I'd love to know more about how they were photographed, because they reminded me of a girl I went to uni with. Her degree show was that she like put flowers on a scanner, and then in complete darkness,
mm-hmm.
kind of, I guess the scanner couldn't completely close, she'd like have these flowers on the scanner bed, scan it so that the image that came out was like completely black except for these really vivid flowers. So good, so nice. I'll like, maybe I'll link her.
Yeah,
her name was Emily. Very nice. But that's what I kind of, it reminded me of. So I'd love to see this work again. I'd definitely go to a solo show.
Yeah, all right, perfect.
So keep your eyes peeled for a Mandy Barker.
Well, on the wall, like just kind of, again, walking around the space in the anti-clockwise manner,
yeah.
It seems to be intended. There's a bit it's cool because it is photography, but it's also a video and essentially a sculpture.
Yeah.
Made out of, what was it, like 1.2 million photos?
Something crazy. So it was basically the moon. That's what I'm just calling it, the moon one. But it was by Penelope Brico. Mm-hmm. Yay, I got it right. And it's, yeah, like a trillion pictures of the moon. It was just so many pictures of the moon. But what made it interesting, because, ooh, Alice told me an interesting fact as well, that because the moon never rotates, every image of the moon is the same image, essentially. Yeah. Like, we're never going to see any other side of it. So this, what was cool about it, was that all of these images were found, or could they be found on, like, photo sharing sites?
I think so, yeah. It was utilizing photo sharing and consumer-to-consumer websites as an expansive archive.
Yeah, so there are these archives that exist, and I like that she's like Flickr or Instagram, or they're like, they are, for all intents and purposes, photography archives, but they're like created and curated and edited by the consumer and for other consumers. And it's interesting. It's kind of taking the, it looks, it's almost like taking the institution out of the archive.
Yeah.
But I like that this was all about a shared desire to like explore and to document and to like find knowledge, and ultimately just to witness. Like, we all just want to be witnesses to things, and that is why Instagram's so popular, and Twitter even. Like, we just want to know what everyone's up to all the time and see what you are seeing. But there's also something kind of comforting in that, I think, that it's nice that like we're all on this like journey together, and as a race of humans, we're all just trying to figure out what we're meant to be doing.
Yeah, and like for the moon in particular, I think it's really nice because we've all like, it's something we all share essentially. It's that same beautiful little thing up in the sky, and we've all got a shared obsession with it, which I think is very nice.
And we always have, for all of human history, we've looked at the moon and we've been like, what's that?
She's always been there.
Yeah, and it's nice because it's so, the moon's so out of reach, but yeah, it's because we all see the exact same image. And it does have an impact on our lives. Like, it impacts the tides and stuff. And like, loads of people want to, like, I mean, I hear, like, really, like, feminist stuff about, like, in the moon. And then, in the tides and periods and yay. And I don't know. I'm not in any of that. But if you are, cool. But there's just something magical about the moon. And it does bind us all. And
yeah, it's got, like, so
awesome.
Much meaning to so many different people.
And I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, there was like a strip of paper. That's the kind of like photograph cum sculpture element of this. And I actually like that it was, so what it was on the page was kind of rows of these moon pictures, but it was a long strip, which kind of looks, it could be like the way you scroll on a lot of sites.
Yeah, I can see that.
So, and like, it just keeps going because there's so many of them.
I was thinking more from like a scientific kind of like oldie timey science, where you'd have like some kind of monitoring equipment and it would just be really long,
just
endless
going.
Sheet of paper. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, I like. It's like the old and the new. And then to accompany that was a film of all of the images. Just like, well, I guess it was going down the strip.
Yeah.
Just so you'd see all of them, but all
it was like
at the
each
same
one
time.
Was on for like less than a second. And in fact, they might have even like went over each other.
And it was like, it was the rows as well, because I said when we were there, how interesting would it have been for them all being layered on top of each other? Because all the moon pictures were different lighting, different quality.
Different phases of the moon, like blood moons, like,
they all were slightly different, but ultimately the same. So it would be like, would it be like, do you know the take a picture for every day for how many years?
Where they all kind of morph into each other.
Yeah. That would be cool.
Would
it look different? Would it look boring?
I think it'll mostly look the exact same, but you'll get different spikes of something else.
So that could be cool. Not that we could do anything about it.
Yeah,
but
not that I'd want to with a million and whatever images.
Maybe that's why.
Maybe.
It's like, nah. But yeah, I think we're kind of giving you a good walk around the room. There's loads of things that we haven't mentioned.
Yeah.
But there's just some highlights.
Roses.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, we've got to leave you some surprises for when you go.
Mm-hmm. So, and you definitely should go. Like, this is on until the 5th of January, so you've got some time.
Yeah.
When it's maybe it's like cold December nights or days or whatever, and you think, oh, you know what I can do? I can just pop to Sunderland, check out that exhibition. Because when you're there, there's not just that exhibition you can check out. There's another one. Spaghetti Factory have, they're curating, I think, three shows, and the first of which is also, it's in like the gallery across the corridor. Doesn't say across the lane. That's not quite how inside spaces work. But their exhibition is called Hot New It, and it's just cool. It's kind of three artists from Sunderland Uni and whose works kind of like react to and correspond with some of the older, more traditional pieces of work in the gallery and the museum, and just kind of generally Sunderland in general. So it's really cool to see that as well.
I'm excited to like see more going on in Sunderland.
Yeah,
I don't know if it's just that we're only just getting switched onto it,
maybe,
but if you do know of anything going on in Sunderland, we want to hear about it.
Yes,
so please let us know, because it's not fair that we spend so much time in Newcastle and neglect Sunderland. So we're sorry, Sunderland. I'm here for you.
Well, there is, I mean, another one that I want to check out at some point, which we could have on the night, but nope, it was already a long day.
We'd already done, like, stuff. I'd already eaten, like, a donut.
Well, at the Northern Gallery for Contemporary Art, which is in the National Glass Centre, there's Marge Lane Riley's exhibition, and it's just like kind of portraits and stuff. I don't really know too much about it, but it's kind of like a, I believe it's like a mid-career retrospective sort of situation. And it's like a pretty big space, so I'm excited to see just tons of photos.
Yeah.
So should be good. Looking forward to that at some point.
Ooh, perfect. I'll come.
Oh, God.
Invited myself.
Yay. And so it's nice to go to the Glass Centre as well, so.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you know what? That works well, because the way we end these episodes is to say something that we're looking forward to doing. So I'm looking forward to that. Don't know when it's going to happen, but...
Nice one.
Dang, am I excited.
Well, I'll say what I'm excited about.
Okay, perfect.
I'm excited about two things. What do you want, the first one or the second one? I'll only choose one.
Ooh, let's be subversive and go the second one, please.
Okay. So I'm excited because I have two things I'm looking forward to, because I'm a lucky girl. And number two, which you're getting today, is I've started watching Ghost House with Emma, and it's not actually called Ghost House. It's called The Haunting of Hill House, but it's essentially Ghost House. So
yeah.
And it's, I'd not seen it. I'd heard that everyone loved it. It's on Netflix. It's like a horror kind of thriller, spooky thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's class. It's actually so fun. It was really good. And I'm properly getting scared. And it's getting in my head. It's all psychological. Ooh. I've got four episodes left. And Emma's coming over on Monday. And we're just going to watch four episodes. We're going to do two episodes, break, theorize.
Oh.
And then the last two episodes. Because it's been so much fun watching it with someone.
Mm-hmm.
I would have watched it alone. Because I just like watching TV alone. But I'm so glad Emma made me watch it with her. Because we've like had all these theories, and we're like, and it's when there's a big plot twist, she's like, what do you think?
And,
yeah, because she's already seen it, and we're getting ready for the next, like, there's a new series coming out because they're doing an anthology, so it's not Hill House.
It's the haunt of somewhere else, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And this, it's going to be, like, I've not seen American Horror, is it American Horror Story? That uses the same actors, but it's always really different.
Yeah.
Like, they don't, like, connect, do they?
No. It's an anthology series.
Yes.
So it's, like, same universe, but different place, different people, but same actors, generally.
Yeah. Which is fun.
It is.
And the actors for Ghost House... What is it? The Haunting of Hill House.
Ghost House is fine.
Ghost House is
fine. That's what it is.
I mean...
And it's going to be Ghost House Part 2.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
Ghost House 2, Electric Boogaloo. So, yeah.
Lush.
Okay.
I need to watch that series. I watched the first episode and it was really good. But
watch
then
it with someone.
I think I should.
To theorise. Because it's apparently, because I've not seen it before, but Emma's saying that they like... From episode one, there's clues about what's going to happen. So, like,
oh, it's one of them.
The very, very beginning, it's kind of destiny.
Oh.
So there are things to spot.
Okay.
So that's what she's been doing, rewatching it.
Oh, find the Easter eggs.
Yeah. And then apparently, and this is like, I'm waiting until I've watched all of it to properly Google it.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently, through in every scene filmed at Hill House, there's like ghosties and like spooky things happening in pretty much every shot.
Ooh.
Or like there's the possibility for spooky things to be happening in every shot, and there's meant to be ghosts hidden everywhere.
Yeah,
so Emma's going back and trying to find all the ghosts, and I'm just there like for the story.
It's like fun puzzles, like spot the ghost.
But I don't know, I'm gonna have to research this is all apparently's. They've had like extras just dressed up and wandering around the set while they were filming. So the chance is you're going to see a ghostly extra.
That's quite fun. I like that.
Yeah, right. So
nice. Yeah. Oh, that's a good thing to look forward to.
Genuinely excited. Good. I'm like so late to the party, but it's so good.
Oh, perfect. Well, I'll have to give it a watch then.
Yeah, would recommend.
Nice. Okay. Well, if you have any recommendations for us, dear listeners, you can get in touch with us on Instagram and Twitter at heyartwhatsgood. I can drop a line via email at heyartwhatsgood@gmail.com.
Check out our website, heyartwhatsgood.co.uk.
Nope.com.
Oh, shit. Because I never type it. I just started typing Hey Art, what's good in Google. Do that.
You could also do that. Also, if you type in Hey Art, I think like the third or fourth thing that comes up.
Yay.
So.
And I don't know if we should say this more often. New episode every Saturday. We're on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud.
Anywhere you can find podcasts, really.
The rest of it.
Mm-hmm. All that jazz.
I'm going to try and get better at saying where we are.
Cool.
And like, subscribe and say nice things
like
about
and subscribe.
It.
Yeah.
Give us a big thumbs up.
Don't forget to hit that bell notification.
So passionate the bell.
We're hipping down with the kids. We are content creators. We've got to say
are
this.
Are we influencers?
Oh, I don't know about that, but
do we influence you? Please let us know.
In the comments below.
I influence my mum. I think she's going to the Hatton.
Hey, so, Lush.
Love you, mum.
Yay.
Give her a shout out. Thanks, Jane.
Yeah, you're a
for
good
all
one.
You do. Yeah.
All right, well, that's it from us for this one. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
Catch you next time.
Bye.